worship God. I want to throw out a shout out to Brother Bill. He had the radio program this morning. The time he's putting into that, it's just a lot of work. It was a really good lesson on that one thing, and talked about our inabilities to multitask, but also putting God first in all that we do. Although it was an interesting lesson, I had to ask Bill on something. I mean, he spent a lot of time on a metaphor of quilting, so I'm not sure what Bill does at home, but it just seemed like a lot of detail there, Bill, on the quilting. So I don't know if you're doing wedding wing quilts or what you do at home, but anyway, just an observation, so there you go. All right, so I apologize for the men that we had a Bible study at Ed's, and I actually led a men's Bible study on this very topic. It stayed with me. I made it in a sermon format. I think it's important for all of us. I think you'll find application. Everyone here, I feel in my heart of hearts, is going to see this lesson and go, okay, I better start keeping my business a little bit tighter. So with that being said, let me just make sure I got this set up. We're going to talk about oaths, swearing, and vows. And what those are, it's basically a promise made to someone, right? We've always, have all at times made promises to people. And when you talk about an oath, swearing, and vows are synonyms. And it's binding a person to a task. Such oaths or vows often have something offered in pledge. It could be a material thing. It could be a person's reputation, a person's religion, a person's life, or anything else that the person accepting the oath would receive. So I'll give you an example. You have a newly purchased car, and that newly purchased car is going to be used as collateral for a loan, right? You're purchasing the car. Is it really a form of oath? If I don't pay the loan, I'm going to give you my car. I'm making a promise to the person I'm buying the car from. And so things such as what you can see on the overhead, which I think a lot of you would be aware of this, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Right? These oaths are based upon one's belief that God will punish the liar. You ever think about that? You're putting your hand on the Bible that if you don't tell the truth on it, God's going to punish you. Under penalties of perjury, I declare that I've examined this return and accompanying schedules and statements, and to the best of my knowledge and belief, they are true, correct, and complete. You know all that comes from, right? Our tax returns. How about this one? I fully understand that it's a federal crime punishable by fine or imprisonment or both to knowingly make any false statements concerning any of the above facts. We've had marriage vows for richer or poorer, for sickness or in health, better or worse, right? For those that have been married, actually made a vow, made a promise, made an oath. How many people today are breaking those vows and promises they made on the day of their wedding? Or as Brother Daniel Schramm would often say, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. Right? We've done that one growing up, and some of you adults use that one. Sorry to pick on Daniel on that one. But that's... Now I want to go to Matthew 5:33, because this is where the lesson finds itself, right? Jesus, on his Sermon in the Mount, he dealt with swearing of oaths. And so let's listen to what he has to say here. He says, again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond this is evil. Now, I'm going to get back to this. But in this lesson, I want to consider what Jesus just said here about not having oaths and what he meant there. So we'll begin with four questions. And the first question is, what did the law of Moses actually teach concerning the swearing of oaths? Right? The law of Moses had something to say about that. I'm going to go through four of them here. And the first one's found in Leviticus 19:12. You shall not swear falsely by my name so as to profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. In Numbers 30 and verse 2 and following, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. In Deuteronomy 23:21, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for it would be a sin unto you, and the Lord your God will surely require it of you. And the last one I'll say on this here is Ecclesiastes. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools, but what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. So you see here, as we went through the law, that we see there was an emphasis placed on what? On being faithful to what you said you were going to do and being truthful. A person must be truthful when he swears an oath. He must mean it. He must be faithful in keeping the oath. He must be true to his word. And you can go through other spots in the Bible where the emphasis is placed on truthfulness. And I'm going to beat this up a little bit because I'm going to make some points here. In Psalms 15:1, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart, right? You want to dwell with God? You want to be that? Then this is what you got to do. You have to have integrity. You got to be truthful. In Psalms 24:3, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, and has not sworn deceitfully. And so we go through this Old Testament, and I'm going to go to one more spot in Jeremiah, because we're going to look at what they had to say and how the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees looked at this. And this is Jeremiah. God's talking to Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, do this for me. He says, roam to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and look now and take note and seek in her open squares. If you can find a man, if there is one who does justice, who seeks truth, then I will pardon her. And although they say, as the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. And so the teaching then on the law was clear. Vows to the Lord should be kept, but we should be truthful in all matters. I mean, we can't go through all that, and you can't draw any other conclusions than that. In fact, the old law teaches that all promises are binding. And I want us to look at Numbers 2:32 again here, just real quick. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. Right? The law doesn't say that only oaths made to God are binding. All oaths to the Lord or not are binding. So we ought not to be liars in that sense. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. So I'm going through all of this again to be extremely clear on the point of this message. Now, just so you know, in Deuteronomy 23:22, you don't have to do an oath. You don't have to do a vow. He says here, however, if you refrain from vowing, it would not be sin unto you. So an oath, if it's used, one must abide by its terms. Whether or not an Israelite made a formal vow, what was he expected to do? He was expected to keep his word. So question two. Now that we've identified question one and kind of beat that up, now we're going to see this one here, which is going to bring this home a little bit. How had the Jews, and in particular the scribes and Pharisees, traditionally interpreted interpreted and applied the law. Now you're going to go, what do you mean interpreted the law? Because we're pretty clear, everything was a matter of fact. But we know when Jesus came that the scribes and the Pharisees sometimes would kind of try to find a loophole, try to justify things they were doing and saying. And sometimes we do the same thing. What it appears to be the case is they shifted from truthfulness in all things to only honoring things when they bow to the Lord. And it's implied by Jesus' comment. In Matthew 5:33, we read that. He said, "Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord.'" So at times it says, "as it is written." Jesus would say, "as it is written." In this case, it says, "as you've heard." So in their mind, it was implying something. So he's saying this to say that you've heard people say this thing, but only the first part of it. So in their mind, the statement affirms that oaths made to God are binding, as taught in Numbers 32, Deuteronomy 23:23, Ecclesiastes 5:4. But in their mind, it implies that some oaths aren't binding. That they can make a promise to someone and feel good about not keeping it. Here's what Jesus had to say here, because we're going to see the application of all of this. In Matthew 23, if you want to turn that, I'm not going to have it up here. In Matthew 23 and 16 through 22, here's what Jesus has to say, and you'll understand the implication here. Here's what he's saying to them. He says, "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated.' You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing. But whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears both by the altar and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by both the throne of God and by him who sits upon it." Right? Jesus states that the Jews believed that swearing by the temple, the altar, was not binding. But swearing by the temple's treasury or a sacrifice in the altar was binding. So the Jews had made such arbitrary distinctions between their vows. According to the Mishnah, now the Mishnah is a Jewish commentary on the law. So listen to what they're saying here. So this is according to the Mishnah, a Jewish commentary on the law. "Oaths may only be taken about what can be defined according to size, weight, or number. However, if a claim concerns a bondsman, written documents, immovable property, and the property of the temple, no oath is imposed." The Mishnah also states that claims made with the phrase, "I adjure you," "I command you," or "I bind you" are binding. But a claim made with the phrase "by heaven and earth" are not binding. Is it any wonder why a Gentile would not trust a Jew? This is absolutely confusing. So because of this distinction, their daily conversations were spiced with meaningless oaths to make impressions. Right? For example, I swear by heaven, or I swear by the throne of God, or I swear by earth, I swear by Jerusalem, I swear by the altar, by the temple, I swear by my head. They shifted the emphasis to truthfulness and only honoring the vows that they had made to God. And so they had all this meaningless vows they were doing. So now it gets to the point of, what did Jesus teach in response to the abuse of the law concerning oaths. Because that's why he comes into the scene, right? The law had been in place for a while. Jesus is on the scene. He's taking everyone to a higher level. And he's calling them on these things. This lesson calls out to you as well, as you'll see here later, because we'll have application for ourselves. And so Jesus exposed the hypocrisy that was going on. And we read in Matthew 23 and 20, which clearly shows that when one swears by the temple or by the throne of God, he's swearing to the Lord also. It didn't matter. However, these oaths that the Jews would consider to be non-binding, Jesus is saying what? He's saying, if you make a promise to someone, keep it. And so he said here, as we read when I began, what Jesus said this on the Sermon on the Mount, the verses teach that one cannot swear by these things without involving God. Right? So he says that heaven is the throne of God. Earth is his footstool. Only God can change our hair color. Although at times, for the record, I try to change mine, but not today. Thank you very much. Therefore, an oath is an oath to the Lord. It doesn't matter how you do it, how you slice it. He enjoined truthfulness in the heart. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And he concluded, as you'll see here, he says, and it is any more than this is evil. It would be contrary to speaking truth in his heart. He says that very thing to them. So with that being said, we look at ourselves today, and the question is, Jesus even forbidding oaths? He says, don't even do an oath, right? We just read it in Matthew. But let's make this clear. Jesus, and I'll read James here in a little bit, qualified their statement. When Jesus said, swear not at all, he immediately qualified it. He had qualified it to people that were going to do a meaninglessly oath. And in James 5:12, you know the scripture, but above all, my brethren, do not swear by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is yes, and your no is no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Right? They qualify this to what people were doing. Don't make something meaningless. Now consider the points here. God swore an oath to Abraham in Hebrews 6:13-17. He says, for when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could not swear by one greater, he swore by himself. Right, Jesus swore an oath. He was setting himself up at a high level to say, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to keep my promises, and I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to swear by myself on that one. Jesus was willing to answer under oath before the Sanhedrin court in Matthew 26. Paul made an oath in his letters, 2 Corinthians. He says, but I call to God as my witness to my soul that to spare you I did not come again to Corinth. Paul also took a vow while in Antioch, and Bill's wonderful study in Acts, we've covered that. In light of these verses, these oaths were acceptable. Why were they acceptable? Because the people who made those oaths were doing what? They were keeping them. Jesus and James condemns only the flippant, profane, and hypocritical oaths. Making an oath when you have no teaching or no intention of keeping your word is the same as what? It's the same as lying. As a matter of fact, oaths are not necessary for children of God. Simply stating that you will or will not do something is sufficient to bind your word. Fair enough? These laws have not changed under the new law. A Christian word is binding because a Christian isn't supposed to lie. Colossians 3:9 says, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Ephesians 4:25, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbors, for we are members of one another. Right? Taking an oath which is not intended to be fulfilled is wrong. And again, the idea here from all of this is that people ought to be able to trust you. How many times, I mean, think about this. How many times have you told someone, I'll say, hey, Ben, I promise that I'll do that. How can we say that? How can we say, I promise I'm going to do that? Because a lot of times, what do? We say something, but we don't follow through with it. Think about last week, the week before. How many times have you told someone that you were going to do something and didn't do it? I'll do it to my children. That's why I said, I promise. No, for sure. Double sure on that. I promise. Don't get excited. This is a long conclusion. It's really my introduction to the whole lesson, actually, this part here, just so you know, okay? But so this lesson, you know, we've talked about what Jesus had to say about oaths and such, and we saw what the Jews were doing, that they, even the law was clear, right? I talked about vows to the Lord, but they only heard that part of it, but didn't realize anything they were doing was binding, and anything that they were saying should be truthful. Don't lie to one another. But they started kind of changing things and getting sloppy a little bit. I think we've done that. We do it in our language at times. We just kind of go through life. We don't keep ourselves in check. So I'll give you some secular stuff here to bring this lesson for ourselves. So there's a guy by the name of Jack Canfield. I don't know if you're familiar with the books, Soup for Your Souls. He's written a whole bunch of those books. So he would do these seminars. Now check this out. He would do these seminars in which he would ask a participant to agree to a list of 15 ground rules. And so on the morning, you'd say, basically you'd have a work booklet, and the booklet would say, I agree to keep all the guidelines and ground rules. So you'd go to a seminar, you'd have your workbook, and you would sign that you would agree to the ground rules. What he would do on the morning of the third day, he would ask everybody to stand up who had broke a rule. And this is what became apparent to him. And this is how casually we give our word and how casually we break our word. Because almost in every single one of those seminars, who do you think stood up? Almost everybody. Character is the ability to carry out a good resolution long after the excitement of the moment has passed. Right? Honoring your commitments is part of your character. It's a quality that attracts people to you, enhances your relationships and opportunities. Failing to honor your commitments will tarnish your image and have a negative effect on your reputation. Think about it. At work, if you made a promise to people at work, you're doing things and you constantly never went through with things. You know people like that. You know people when they say something quickly and they don't follow through with it, what do you think about their character? Right, we're to be Christians with good integrity and good character. I read this here. It says, it can create a barrier to personal achievement. It can erect a roadblock against success. By honoring your commitments, you create a strong foundation that will support you in your endeavors. As a result, you'll be recognized as a person of integrity and character. Someone others can trust. Someone had written that your life works to the degree you keep your agreements. Honoring your commitments impacts all dimensions of your life. Listen to this. You honor your commitments you make, even if they're tough ones, even if they're uncomfortable. So I ask every single one here, do you honor the commitments you make? Do you honor the commitments you make to your spouse? Do you honor the commitments you make to your children? Do you honor the commitments you make to your friends? To your co-workers? Do you honor commitments you make to yourself? How many times have you said that I'm going to do something? I was listening to somebody one time. When someone says, I'm going to try. Once you say you're going to try to do something, you will not do it. I'm going to try to lose weight. I'm going to try to eat better. I'm going to try to attend services more. When you should be saying, I'm going to do it. Think about it. When anybody says, I'm going to try, in the back of your mind, what are you thinking? What if they say, I'm going to do it? And I promise you. Right. Anyway, there you go. So here's one. Do you honor the commitments you've made to God? If you've been baptized into Christ, you made a vow and a commitment, and the biggest one you'll ever make. Have you honored those commitments? So I'm going to give you some tangible stuff. Now, this just came from some secular guy. It's not any Bible stuff, but I think we can throw some common sense here a little bit. Like, how can I do better in keeping my promises and being a person of my word? Because if we do something, you got to kind of think about it, right? If we're going to do something, shouldn't we have goals and kind of build, right? Makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, in areas of life where people are successful, do you think that they make goals and have deadlines and they commit to do certain things each day to achieve the goal? It's got to be true. I'll tell you what, when it comes to God stuff, we will not have goals. We will not set up boundaries. We just won't do it. For other stuff, we will. What does that say about us? Brother Bill's lesson was about that one thing. The one thing was putting God first. That's what Paul had said. That they would obey the gospel and they would follow the gospel. That one thing. I alone am responsible for my life. I will stop blaming, rationalizing, and excusing my failure to honor my commitments. So I'll give you this. I can't do everything, so it's okay to say no. How many times you kind of just quickly say yes to someone to get them out of your face with no intentions of doing anything? But if you're not going to do it, why don't you say, I don't have the time, I'm not going to. Is that okay to do that? That would be pretty fair to say, Gail, I'm not going to do that. Not. Sorry, don't get mad at me. Not doing it. It's all right. I will speak with purpose. Did the Apostle Paul, did the other apostle, did they speak with purpose? I'm only going to make a commitment I tend to keep. I will write down all the agreements I make. Not that you have to do that, but sometimes we should, shouldn't we? How many times do we just constantly think we're going to do? I'm busy. I'm a busy guy. I'm pulling like 60 hours a week right now. I'm just all over. If it's important, I'm writing it down. I'll put it in my email so I don't forget. I don't mean to forget, but at the same thing, am I a man of my word? Are we all just kind of walking around through life? And we could see it in our lives. I will clear up any broken agreement at the first opportunity. Ben, I'm sorry, I totally spaced it, but I want to let you know that I don't have, that's not how I roll. I'm sorry for that. We don't do that, do we? We walk away from it. I will follow through on the commitments I've made, even though it may require sacrifice, work, and cost. If I made a commitment, I got to stay with it. I got to do it. So you can see that this lesson for me, I caught myself. When we had our men's study, a lot of us were kind of thinking, man, we're just kind of just saying, yeah, I'll do that, I'll do this, and we're not even having intentions to do it. Who are we? We've gotten sloppy. Are you a man or a woman of your word? When you say yes or no to something, do people take it as the gospel, as truth? Are you someone whose word is questioned unless confirmed with an oath? Yeah, Daniel, I promise to do this. We should just remove that word. I'm going to do it. In a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus dealt with the issue of swearing of oaths as discussed. He set a high standard for them to follow, a standard that exceeded the Pharisees and scribes. Remember, we had a lesson that Jesus said that he wants your righteousness to exceed the Pharisees and the scribes. At that time, they're like, whoa, they're the religious leaders. But they weren't all that, were they? Christians are to be truthful. Their yes means yes and their no means no. So truthful and trustworthy are Christians to be would not be necessary for them to swear an oath or to say, I promise, or trust me. Can this be said of us when people know that we are Christians? Can people bank on our words? when we say something, is it going to be as good as done? May the words of our Lord remind us that even our speech reflects either honor or dishonor to God. I came across this. We have God who honors his commitments. He keeps his promises. He fulfills his word. Amen? God does that. So check this out. When you choose not to quit when the going gets rough, stick to lost causes because you said you would. Hold on to a love grown cold. Stay with people who have become pains in the neck. Then you are most like God. Because to God, you all are pain in the neck. Amen. Think about that. You've all made commitments. Whether it's marriage, whether it's whatever, whether it's this week, next week. God's made commitments to you. He's saying, make the commitments to others just as tight as I made them to you. When we honor our commitments, we are like God. That is my lesson. If you are here this morning and been struggling and having difficulty, and maybe your commitment and vows to God just aren't being kept and met, now's the time to take care of that. We can pray on your behalf and get back where you need to be. If you're not a Christian, it's time to make that commitment, that lifelong vow to God. Because if you do, you have someone that will never break a promise. You'll have someone that will always be there for you. If you're subject to the invitation, please stand and come forward as we sing the song that's been selected.